this is how society is changing. This is what we can do to make it even better and to make sex a very normal part of the conversation.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
So hello everyone, I'm Stephanie Alice. I am a co-founder and I'm the Chief Pleasure Officer at Mystery Vibe. We are a London-based company. We design, develop, and manufacture luxury pleasure products, or as you may know them, vibrators. I guess it's easier if I kind of tell you a little bit about why we're doing it.
Yeah, I would love that.
And
are you from Three?
I'm from London.
You're from London.
I'm from London.
So you came here just for the festival too?
I did. And I'm so glad that I did. It's incredible. But yeah, just to give you a little bit of background. So I met my co-founders 8 years ago. We used to be management consultants. And to cut a very long story short, we noticed a real gap in the market. And we were frustrated by how people were being distracted by their technology. So back then, 8 years ago, smartphones were very new, the iPhone was new. And as we started to see that real rise in apps, app development, people are constantly being distracted by their phones.
Right.
And it transferred across to the bedroom. You have a situation where you're bombarded by text notifications,
totally,
emails all the time. You have your agenda, your calendar on your phone, and you normally take your phone now to the bedroom with you, or your laptop as well. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of it. I do it all the time. And so when you have these gadgets which almost bring work into that space, it can be quite a disruptive mm-hmm. thing. Work almost colonizes that space. The bedroom isn't a space for sleep and sex anymore like it used to be.
Right.
So we saw this and we thought, wow, there's definitely something that needs to be done there. So we decided we wanted to build some kind of company that helped people connect better when it came to sex and pleasure.
And what does that mean? Like, and by the way, just to like make it quadruple classy, I mean, we're speaking at a conference with the president of Estonia, mm-hmm. the president of Latvia. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a no joke, like, tech festival.
Yeah.
And your talk was really about innovation and technology.
Yeah. I mean, when we first started the company, we were very conscious of the fact that there are still so many taboos and stigmas around sex, and especially around women's pleasure. Men's pleasure as well, to an extent, but female masturbation, women's pleasure is not discussed as nearly as much as it should be. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women feel guilty, feel shame.
Totally.
And it's not good for your health. And we saw that industry and the space was still had a lot of taboos and stigmas around it. So one thing we made very clear to ourselves when we started the company 2.5 years ago was that we'd make it a lifestyle one, because sex is part of life.
Yeah.
Everyone does it. No one talks about it.
Totally.
And yet, when you come to events like this and technology events, we've done quite a few of them now, but it's normally filled by men.
Yeah.
But it's young people, and it's people who have broadened minds, and they're normally early adopters of new technology. So it's a pretty good audience for us to come and talk to and be like, hey, these are some of your assumptions. I'm sure these are. This is how society is changing. This is what we can do to make it even better and to make sex a very normal part of the conversation.
During your talk, you had, I guess you could call it a tagline. And I really, really liked it. It was something like, people remember how they feel. What was the tagline again?
So I was talking a little bit about technology and what I feel is the next step when we're marrying sex and technology. Because they're two things that you wouldn't normally think would go together very well. But for me, what's really important is that it's not about, when we're talking about technology and sex and the future of them, it's not important what that technology does. It's important how it makes us feel.
Right.
So, for example, you have some incredible technologies. And one of the things I spoke about, the example that I gave was around virtual reality. And we're moving away from this idea of being told what to do, being told this is how you have sex. These are the things that you require. You need a condom, you need two people, normally male, female, and sex is for reproductive purposes. And we're moving more towards a situation and a society where people want to explore their bodies and they want to explore their desire, be that however they enjoy it best. So what's really important is not the fact that you can put a headset on and you can connect it with your partner who's on a business trip in China or wherever. Right. And you can, it's not about how that works. It's about how that changes your relationship and how it impacts you as a person and the kind of things that can happen. So, for example, one thing I talked about was the fact that in the future, you might be able to have a relationship with someone you've never met in real life. You could have a completely full sexual and romantic relationship with someone completely over VR. And for me, that's a fascinating conversation.
I mean, you said in your talk, you're like, you could even have a relationship with an alien if that's your thing.
The idea is that if you're in VR, you could make your digital avatar whoever you want.
It's like
it to
Sim
be.
City.
Exactly. And as diverse as you want. You could have sex as someone from another gender, You could have sex as someone a different height, a different body type, a different face, a different hair color. You could.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know how I feel about it.
But that's the important thing. The important thing is to be like, so how do I feel about that? Is that something I would like to explore or not?
Because don't you think that makes us more disconnected as a society? Like, I feel like one thing that I thought was interesting in your talk was you were talking about when you're hanging out with your mom, sometimes your mom says to get off the phone because you're not in a real conversation. You're like, don't you understand I'm communicating with the world? Which is true. Mm. I mean, Dan Taylor, who is our common friend, he and I connected because of the digital space years ago. And if it wasn't for digital, maybe we would have never met. So I agree with that. But at the same time, I'm here totally far away from where I live. And I actually left my phone at home. I'm traveling without a phone on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love it. So every time I travel to Europe, I leave my phone. I just don't, want to be a slave to it, to be honest. Sure. I feel that I have an addiction to, we all do, really, in this culture, to our phone. And I feel like it takes me away from being in the present moment. And it's really difficult when the phone's around for me to balance that. So I like the extreme of not having it around. And your viewpoint, and please correct me if I'm not right, is it makes you feel more connected to people.
I think it depends on the situation. I mean, I think for me personally right now, I would always prefer to have a face-to-face conversation. And I try to do that in my business and my daily life. But at the same time, the way that technology is going, I think that you could have a very real moment and really be in the present and in that moment through, for example, virtual reality in the future. I think a lot of people say that technology like VR means that we become isolated from other people. But it fundamentally, it's just another way of communicating. And some people will prefer it. Mm-hmm. For some people, it'll be amazing because, say they have anxieties about meeting people in real life, and they would be able to go onto VR and potentially have a date from the comfort of their own homes and feel much more like themselves. So for those kinds of people, this concept of dating or having a relationship over VR might be a godsend. But for others, it won't work. So the question is, how do you feel about it?
That's interesting. Let's get more into about you in the tech space. When did you first become exposed to the tech world?
When we started the business.
Really?
Yeah,
so before that, you weren't really aware of it. How many years ago was that?
2.5.
Okay. Wow. Relatively recent. Yeah.
So I was a management consultant, and then I went into kind of economics and strategic communications for a while.
So business.
Business. Yeah, exactly. And when we decided to make the company a reality, that was my first foray into the tech scene.
And were you already, I really admired how confident and eloquent you were speaking about such a taboo topic.
Yeah.
Have you always been open and just not afraid, or are you afraid and just do your best to be confident? Like, what is your true state?
I'm very open. I grew up in a family that was very open about sexuality and sex. I owe my parents everything in that respect. So I am happy when we're talking just here or on stage to talk about things that may make other people feel slightly uncomfortable.
Right.
And the funny thing is so I used to come to these tech events and do pitches when we were a younger company. And you'd get on stage and normally I'd be the only woman on stage. I'd be the only woman pitching. And when people in the audience realized that I was talking to them about sex, you'd get an initial giggle and initial people would shift in their seats. But then once they realized how serious you were and how serious the tech was,
right,
and the opportunity, it would just go quiet and people would just listen.
Totally.
So I think there's something incredibly powerful about talking about other things that other people won't talk about.
Where is your company today?
A location based? Or?
Well, sure. Where is it headquartered? And like, how many employees do you have?
We're headquartered in London. We have 4 people working on the business, but we have a lot of partners that we work with. So I'd say at any one time, there's somewhere between 10 and 15 people working on Mystery Vibe.
And have you raised money?
We have. We raised about $2.6 million of funding over the last 2.5 years, which has funded the hardware development. That's the most expensive part of building something like this.
And how did you find the fundraising process? And by the way, I forgot to ask you, what is your role? I know you're the co-founder, but what is your role within the company?
Okay, so as a founder at Mystery Vibe, as I'm sure many founders out there will know, you pretty much get involved in any and everything that needs doing at that time. My focus is more on shifting conversations. So I do all kinds of things around talking to media and bits and pieces of marketing, and I come to these events and try and do things like give talks like I did here. It's all about shifting the conversation towards a slightly more open and honest and liberal one, that where we can talk about things like this. We can talk about female pleasure and we can talk about sex and we can talk about how important it is for us to get a good sex education and be open and honest with our partners about our desires and our needs and our wants, because it's such an integral part of life. And it's bizarre to me that we don't talk about sex every day.
Well, some I do. People, well, some people may. They just don't let everybody else know. So you were saying that you raised over $2 million. And mm-hmm. as I'm sure you're aware, in the women in tech space, a lot of women have, been very vocal that it can be difficult. I like to see the solutions that are possible for me rather than focus on what the pushbacks are. How did you find the fundraising experience?
Fundraising, I think no matter what you do, is always a tricky process to go through. When you work in an industry like sex tech, it becomes that much harder. And I think there are many women out there who have spoken to this, Cindy Gallup, for example, being one of them, how difficult it is to find investment in anything related to sex, drugs, and gambling specifically. VCs just won't touch you.
How do you spell her name? Cindy Gallup?
CindyGallop.
So you guys will include it in the show notes and you can research her. Yeah.
She's an amazing woman. She founded a company called Make Love Not Porn. And she's done a couple of amazing TED Talks around social sex and the porn industry and the effect it has on society. And she's based in New York. I thoroughly recommend going and checking her stuff out. It's amazing. But she has spoken on a number of occasions about the difficulty there is in raising in money in this space, and it's incredibly hard. You can't approach VCs. So you can take institutional investment and pretty much can it at the moment. It's starting to change, but at least when we raise money, you just couldn't do it. It was right. just not an option to us. So we ended up finding money through angels. So we have an amazing group of angel investors who come from all kinds of different industries and different backgrounds. But they are united in the fact that they are excited about the future of sex tech. And they think it's something which really can help change people's lives for the better. So when we approached them and we told them of our company vision to help people connect better
right.
through immersive experiences, and then introduce them to the hardware that we were building,
right.
so the products that we were prototyping at the time, they got very excited about it. So one thing that was good about not being able to go to institutional investment is that we found a group of people who were incredibly passionate
right.
about what we wanted to do. And they wanted to support us, not just with their money, but also with their advice and their mentorship and their leadership. So yeah, we're very lucky.
That's so cool.
But it was hard. It was really, really difficult.
What tip would you give that was really effective in fundraising that you wish you knew when you first started?
Okay, I'm going to give you two. Is that okay. all right?
Yeah, I love it.
First thing is find the people who are the connectors. So find those people who will bring people along with them, if you get what I mean.
Right.
So, for example, we found one amazing guy who initially invested in one of our rounds and then followed on the next round, but also brought with him a whole bunch of friends. And he became an evangelist for the company and for the product. And he went to his angel friends and said, hey, I'm invested in this. It's amazing. Check it out. And so he brought a number of investors along with him. So find those people who are very well connected, who know the industry and they know the space and they know the people
right.
and can bring people along with them. And then secondly, a good tip that I have for people raising funding is that there are two types of investors. Ones that are led with their head and they're very numbers driven and they want to spend hours, days, weeks poring over your spreadsheets. And other investors that are very heart driven, especially within the angel space.
Right.
If they like something, if they really feel passionate about it, they're driven by the heart and they will get involved because they believe in you and they believe in the vision and they believe that you're going places. It's best to start your round with the head people, the thinkers, the people
right.
that will do the due diligence for weeks, maybe months. And then once that is done, those investors who are heart investors, who are really led by passion, they will come along much more easily because they're like, oh, this guy who was a finance guy and he looked through your spreadsheets for 3 months, he is happy with the valuation and he's happy with your numbers
right.
and your projections. So I feel like I'm happy too. So it's much easier to find and bring those people on board once they know that someone who is obsessed by numbers has been through all of your stuff.
How do you identify those people from afar? Because you don't know them initially, right? You're just making a spreadsheet to decide who you're going to talk to. So how do you decipher? Or do you take all the meetings and you decipher in the meetings and then make a note of it?
It might be their job. So some might be ex-bankers or accountants who you're pretty sure that they're going to go through your numbers with a fine-tooth comb. It's a case of meeting them. I think you can watch someone and see how they talk about stuff, how they make small talk, how they talk about what they're passionate about. And if they're very logic-driven, they're more likely to be a numbers kind of person. And if when you ask someone, so what are you passionate about? What's your great passion in life? They give you a big rambling speech like I'm doing now about what they're passionate about. They're more likely to be driven by the heart.
Perfect. I love it.
I don't know if that helps.
No, I love it. Again, like I said, the Women in Tech show is about actionable empowerment, and I want every listener to be able to walk away and take action, and I think that that's exactly what you're gifting them, and so I'm really, really excited. How can people connect with you further so they can stay in touch and check out what you do, cyberstalk you a bit?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter. I like to tweet every now and again. My handle is at Stephanie Alys, A-L-Y-S is the last bit, Stephanie A-L-Y-S.
Stephanie P-H or Stephanie with a F?
Stephanie P-H.
Cool.
Or you can just at Mystery Vibe and I will pick it up. Other than that, yeah, get in touch with me on Twitter or on Facebook. I love connecting with people on Facebook. And I'm hoping to come to LA at some point.
Oh, my God. I would love to have you there.
Yeah, I really want to come.
And, you know, Digital Freedom Festival did record all the talks today. So definitely be sure to access the archive of Stephanie's talk on the Digital Freedom Festival website or contact Digital Freedom Festival. It really was just, it was wow. It was really well. I'm telling you, when Dan said you have to interview this girl, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pull that off. And then after I saw your talk, I was like, I have to have her on the show. Aww. So I hope that you all feel the same way that I felt. I think that Stephanie offered a lot of value in this conversation, and I'm just really grateful to share this experience with you. Thank you for being on the Women in Tech show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. This is Esprit Devora. You guys know where to find me on Twitter at Esprit Devora or at Women in Tech show. If you want to connect further with incredible women in tech, go to womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. That will take you straight to the Women in Tech Facebook page. And I look forward to bringing more awesome female entrepreneurs, founders, investors, engineers, designers, all sorts of incredible women in tech to you in Europe as I'm on the road. And you'll be listening to our awesome guest host back in LA, holding down the fort over there. I'll see you guys in the next episode.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech show is a WeAreTech.fm production.